It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis, and have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart, owner of Cannabama in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street. Our phone number is 251-255-5155, cannabama.com. I'm struggling, and I'm going to ask for your grace tonight. I come to you fresh with bad news. The judge... Judge Anderson has denied our request for a TRO in order to stop 445 in its tracks and allow us time to get rid of our inventory and figure out what we're doing and how to save our businesses. We were holding out so much hope. We had such great arguments. This law is so egregious and going to hurt so many people. And we fought so hard. I fought so hard. We put everything into this. Our money, our time, miles on our cars, nights in hotel rooms, wondering how to stop this horrible thing from happening. I want to read a statement that was posted yesterday by Jenny Otwell, the owner of Magic City Organics in Birmingham, because she said it way better than I think anybody else could. We will never forget what Alabama did. Why the little grandma in Moody, who can't leave her home and has relied on us for 3 years to hand deliver her CBD topical and gummies for arthritis pain, now has no legal option left. Why the mom in Hoover juggling three kids, sports schedules, and a full-time job just wanted a couple of discreet puffs off of her device at night. Because alcohol never made her feel better, only worse. But now that's illegal too. Why the farmer in Coleman, who ditched opioids for a daily THC routine, can no longer buy what saved him from addiction. Because Alabama criminalized healing. We will never forget what Alabama did. Why the teacher in Auburn who found sleep again after discovering CBN gummies must now go back to lying awake, dreading the alarm clock and the chaos of another underpaid, overstressed day. Why the grandmother in Mobile who uses CBD to calm her tremors can't ask her daughter to bring it anymore because it might make her a felon. Why the single dad in Tuscaloosa can't pick up his vape anymore after the kids go to sleep, something that used to help him wind down and be more present, patient, and sober. We will never forget what Alabama did. Why the 24-year-old with PTSD in Gadsden, who finally stopped having night terrors with the help of hemp-derived sleep gummies, now has no safe, affordable option within reach. Why the cancer patient in Montgomery who couldn't eat for days during treatment until she tried a legal gummy is being abandoned by the very state that says it protects life. Why the veteran in Florence who served his country can't walk into his local wellness shop anymore to get the only thing that brings him peace because Alabama has decided plant-based alternatives are more dangerous than the VA's pain pills. Why the store owner in Anniston who followed every rule, paid every tax, and built something from nothing has to choose between shutting down or becoming a criminal. We will never forget what Alabama did. These aren't just customers. These are our neighbors, our friends, our family. This law does not just ban products. It erases dignity, choice, and access for thousands of Alabamians who simply want to feel better without fear. But we will not be silent. We will not stop fighting. We will not forget. To the people of Alabama, we see you, we stand with you, and we'll keep pushing forward until compassion, common sense, and freedom win. This is what Alabama is doing to real people on July 1st. Thousands will lose access to the products that help them live better, sleep better, and stay sober. We want to invite you to email your stories. Thank you, Jenny, for that. We want to invite you to email your testimonials because they're going to hear about this. To hello, H-E-L-L-O, at magiccityorganics.com. Hello at magiccityorganics.com. If you didn't get that, reach out to us. We will get that to you. You can email them to us. Send us your stories. They're more important now than ever. So the TRO was denied. There was supposedly some sort of consent order. I don't understand it. I'm not going to speak on it until I see it in writing. But as of tonight at midnight, we will be closed. I would like to invite you, if you're in the area, if you've ever shopped at Canabama, if you've never been there and maybe we're planning on visiting someday, if you've been in there and gotten a solution to your problem at any point, we would invite you to come tonight. We're going to stay open until 11 p.m. I will be back in the store by about 8:20 after this show. We want to say goodbye. We want to have a smoke together. But we want to stay within the law, so we will be clearing out at 11, and Canabama will be closing. So if you're in the area and you would like to come, it's 558 St. Francis Street, and we would love to see you. Free hugs, too. So I would just like to read the names of the people who voted yes for HB 445 in the Senate. We'll post these. The House list is much longer and less and more chaotic. But most of the worst of them are on this list. Senator Melson, Tim Melson, Arthur Orr, Garland Gudger, Steve Livingston, Andrew Jones, Randy Price, J.T. Jabbo Wagner, Linda Coleman Madison, Gerald Allen, Greg Albritton, Will Barfoot, William M. Beasley, Donnie Chestine, Clyde Chambliss, Vivian Davis Figures from Mobile, Jack W. Williams, David Sessions, Mobile, Lance Bell, and we have their email addresses if you would like to email them to tell them what you think about that. There are also some people on the no list that voted no because they thought it wasn't strict enough. And that would be, I know for sure, Larry Stutz, Dan Roberts, and April Weaver. They all sponsored bills, some of the banned bills, so we know that's why they voted no. They wanted it to be stricter. And just as a footnote, April Weaver has already filed SB1 for 2026, which would ban what's left of our THC products and put CBD in pharmacies only. So maybe reach out to her as well. Interestingly enough, her opponent, Mandy Ledkins, will be our guest next week, so stay tuned for that. I just want to say on a personal note, I'm heartbroken and I don't know what to say. I didn't want to come on here and do this show tonight, and I love this show, but I didn't know what to say because I feel like we failed you. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to say about it, and I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Canabama was something that God told me to do this, y'all. He gave me the name Canabama and a vision, and I've just gone with my gut and tried to listen to what the Lord tells me to do and try to help as many people as possible. And it has cost me everything. But I would do it all again. We made history. I made history. No one can ever take that from us. What we have done is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And they have made it something terrible. And I'm sorry. I wish I had an answer. I won't be here long enough to fight for it as a store owner with my income from my store. And I'm not sure exactly where God is leading me. But I have some new things on the horizon. But this is a death to me. I'm grieving. When we come back, we'll talk to Kevin Edmondson from Vivescent. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, I want to revisit a recent guest, Kevin Edmondson, who is the founder of Vivescent Wellness Foundation. Kevin, welcome to the show. Kevin, are you there?
Hold on.
Well, I can keep talking about how unhappy I am until we figure this out. Thank you for your grace, everybody, while I have my little meltdown. I can't help it. I love what I do. I love my customers. And I don't know what I'm going to do professionally. Even my pain gummies are going to be illegal. And that's not okay with me. I'm not sure what any of us are going to do. I used to take OxyContin every day, like in a bad way. And it's been 10 years and 9 months for me without that. And I don't know how I'm going to handle my pain. I don't know how I'm going to sleep at night. So I'm just as scared of that aspect as you guys are. And I have such great sympathy for you. We are going to try to figure out a way to come back and serve you as much as we possibly can. I think our guest is ready to go. No?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Kevin, I was just winging it, bro.
No, the phone just was there, but and then you were gone.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Well, welcome to the show again.
And I want to give you my condolences. I know you put a lot into this.
Yes.
But you know what? What we always say, sometimes God gives you what you need, not what you want.
Yes.
Build something new, baby, me and you.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I do want to say before I get into questions with you, Kevin, I would like to say to my audience that I am doing other projects, and this is the main one for right now, and I am going to be remaining in the wellness business as best I can, but it will not be with Cannabama. But let's get into this, Kevin. Because we need something good and positive to talk about, because we can still do amazing things for the people of Alabama, despite this egregious law and the uncertainty therein and the pending legal battle that we are about to bring to the state. So let's get into it. We talked a little bit about what Vivescent is and sort of a general overview of what we have planned for not only North Alabama, but lots of places around the country. So why don't we start by talking about these elderly care villages? Or did I even say that right? This is all so new.
What it is, one of the projects we've been doing is veterans memory care. And so we are lucky, and it will be announced officially very soon, but we have partnered with Boxable, and we're providing memory care villages, is the best way to put them, that incorporate different types of memory care, cancer care, and short-term rehab, all in one village where there's a doctor's office in the middle, but we build these Boxable living units around the property for end-stage cancer. It could be for anything.
Right.
And we're going to be putting these on anywhere between 25 and 50 acre properties. And We are working on finishing the deal up for Lakeland, Florida, where our headquarters is right now. Mm-hmm. It'd be a 166-bed unit here. And we're also working on one in Pueblo, Colorado, and that will be a 300-unit system up there. And now that one's going to go through. We're probably 2 days from announcing that publicly, but everything's looking really good. It's not the properties were both, you know, being a nonprofit, people want to donate us properties just to see good things happen.
Right.
So that's what we're about to, and that's going to change the world. That's going to build the foundation so we can get back to building homes across the U.S. in the next 38 months or 36 months. And Boxables promised us to help support those 1,600 homes across the I-22 corridor that were destroyed by the F3 tornado. So we're not giving up.
Right.
It's just we have to build a better foundation with the Alabama laws changing the way they are. We're letting things settle a little bit. Let's get that figured out.
Right.
But we can build these 100 units, and the foundation will have a base of money to be able to do what we want in the Alabama area. But we're coming to Oklahoma. We're coming to multiple locations. We're looking at a 5,000-unit system up there in the Oklahoma, Iowa, Ohio. We're looking at a property there. These memory care units are USD approved, meaning it's easy access as long as we have a group to buy them at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of groups out there that want to be in the Medicare, Medicaid, memory care business because there's a great need for it right now.
Right.
And I mean, these units have GPS to keep the people with Alzheimer's from leaving the property. I mean, there's a lot of things because that's what comes with memory care.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. You hear horror stories about people who are trying to take care of their elderly parent who has dementia in their home. And they walk out the door one day and they can't find them. They're lost or they end up somewhere dangerous or they show up missing. And we see these silver alerts for people who've left home without their ID, their medication. They don't know where they went. And that's got to be scary for the families, I'm sure. So having a place that is so safe for them that they can sort of have some normalcy in their own place to live, but be constantly under the care of people who know what, I guess you would call it a flight risk, you know, that they might not understand. And I think a lot of people struggle with lucidity. Sometimes they're in the moment and sometimes they're in, you know, the past, and that can be very confusing. And you know, they think they're 30 years old and they got to leave for work, you know, and that can be incredibly scary, I'm sure.
Well, let me tell you a little story. So, you know, I went through colon cancer and had a stroke.
Yeah.
So during the first stroke, my wife would leave me at home and I was fine. And we thought I was fine.
Right.
Until the day I was walking down the street half naked because the meds that they had changed, my cancer medicines had worked with the fentanyl patches that they had me on and had me looped so bad I didn't know who I was. And I just started walking.
Oh, wow.
And there was nobody to take care of me because the hospital wouldn't keep me there because I have to go home and be at home piece, they call it, you know?
Right.
You can't stay in the hospital for that 90 days where you're in hospice. You have to go home.
Right. Right.
Or go to a center and, you know, and when you don't have a lot of money at that point, you have to do what you can do. And it's scary.
Well, at home care is expensive and it's time consuming and it's exhausting for family members because a lot of people with dementia end up with sundowners and they want to be up all night and sleep all day. And I, you know, that's another thing that makes that situation ideal. You know, nobody wants to have to put their family member in a facility, but this is more like a community where they have their own space, but there's a fully staffed medical team there. And things like security so that if they wander off, they can find them, right?
Well, and that's exactly what you hit the big word. We always step by what? One person,
mm-hmm.
one house, mm-hmm. one community.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're not a city organization. We don't play by city rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with the veteran groups with autism and different memory issues, and it's satisfying to be able to put them all in one spot where we can take care of them.
Right.
You know, it's just there's a lot of need for this right now, because again, how about daycare centers? These same buildings. When we say memory, this whole thing is going to have like a senior daycare in it also, which is covered under our USD policy. And that, man, just being able to let your father, you know, go somewhere for the day where you can go to work and not worry that he's going to take off down the street.
Right, know? Right. That's neat too. So it's like outpatient daily. You bring them and take them to a place where they can have social time and lunch and whatever they do at this place, and then you pick them up on the way home from work like you do your kids, right?
Absolutely. And it's beautiful because they're safe and they're not stuffed into a place where they don't need to be or belong, or locked into a house in a room.
Right, or just sat in front of a television by themselves. Yeah.
I'm doing the social back look at some of the stuff for our research papers. We've found that there were families that would lock their mothers in closets or rooms.
Oh,
because that's
God.
The only thing they can do while they went to work.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, that's
and
awful.
You know, you don't want to be bad, but that's what they have to do because they have to work because they've got three kids. What
right.
do they do?
Right. Right. Yeah. There's a big gap in care there. Because what your insurance will cover or what Medicaid will cover isn't always what you need. And when a family doesn't have great means to take care of something like that, you know, nursing homes are expensive. All of this, you know, or hospice care or a daily sitter, those things are expensive. And, you know, then you don't know who you're leaving your old mom with or your old dad with when they can't even really tell you what's happening. That's a very scary thing, because elderly abuse, because of the dementia, that's a real big problem too sometimes.
Right. We're seeing right now the veterans that went to Vietnam are now experiencing the Agent Orange and memory loss, and the suicide rates are continuing to stay at about 21 to 22 a day.
Right.
And it's just because they're not getting the help they need. Memory-wise, psychological help. I mean,
right.
know,
yeah.
whatever it is, they need
There's
help.
A lot of things, yeah. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Kevin Edmondson. Stay with us.
To Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here every Monday night at 7 o'clock for Sweet Home Cannabama on FM Talk 106.5 and live stream from all the socials on the Sweet Home Cannabama pages. And in case you missed the beginning of the show, Judge Anderson has denied our request for a TRO in the case of HB 445, we were hoping that it would put a stop to it temporarily so that we could get our ducks in a row, find out what the rules are, so we didn't break them. But we will no longer have that chance. So tonight we're talking with Kevin Edmondson, the founder of the Vivescent Wellness Foundation. We've been talking about these care centers. Kevin, tell us a little bit about the plan in Lakeland. I know that's sort of the first project, and kind of that will sort of set the pace for how these things are done. You talked about how it would be assisted living. There would be medical staff. What type of medical staff are we talking about?
Well, the campus itself designed is 166 units with a full medical suite in the middle of the property where the doctors, the nurses, and the food location, the cafeteria, to feed all the people would be located from a central thing and then delivered to the pods around the property. Multiple reasons this is good, because if somebody has diseases or any kind of issues, they're self-isolated too.
Right. Mobility issues too. I mean, I can imagine, you said that, you know, like veterans with mental health issues or memory issues, but I'm sure that people who have come back from service and have to have some sort of surgical procedures or maybe even an amputation, even that would be something accessible to them.
Correct, because it's all going to be in one spot where we can get them all.
Mm-hmm.
And with old people moving up from one facility to the other, it's sometimes very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just have a doctor or a nurse go right to their house and have that location closed,
right,
we believe we can do that. Now, what makes, again, I am very religious, but I'm not set on any one religion. So the rabbi and the medical group we're working with right now, I believe it sometimes will make this a full culture community for them, a community, right?
Right. Absolutely. We all need one.
Because they have to have special principles and things for their religion.
Right.
So this works really, really good for them. And that's why they're excited to come on with us. But, you know, you're talking skilled nursing, post-rehab, assisted living, outpatient behavior units, and supporting housing for children that are running away or need a house while they're getting relocated, houses that could be used in this whole same community for domestic violence, to have a safe house where nobody knows where somebody has been put,
right?
Because now they're in the safety of a community ran by veterans,
right,
and will be very well protected.
Yeah.
From anybody wanting to hurt them. This is part of our Spectrum Valor Shield program where somebody with autism like myself with a veteran. But our veterans, when you put a veteran with anybody, they just want to protect you. So they protect, my best friend protected me for many years before he took his own life because he couldn't get housing.
Wow.
And so that's why this housing part really means, we've been working on that since he was younger, and we were told and it goes back to the cannabis part of it, and it's going to be cool. They told us in our little town of Bartlesville, Oklahoma, they said, you can't take the money you earned from the medical marijuana and buy that school, or you can't buy that trailer park and turn it into a cargo city. We don't want your dirty money.
Mm.
But yet they were turning around and collecting state and city tax for the dispensaries, the 10 dispensaries I had in that town.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, yes.
Because we've paid a lot of money in taxes for our dirty money.
Yeah, so again, that's why we've rotated out of it. When our name was CannaCare, you know how it is. Everybody
mm-hmm.
wants to shut your bank account. They don't want to talk loans.
Yes, mine is Canabama. Nobody told me not to do that.
Yeah, you don't know because you're trying to be cool and you want to. Well, no,
you name your business what your business name is. And no one had ever done this in Alabama, so there was no one to ask, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I think in the CBD market, it's going to be really good in a few days here, in a few weeks, because if people would just realize they don't even have to put CBD under 3% on their ingredient list,
mm-hmm.
because it's an all-natural product, it's a nutraceutical. You don't have to listen. You can just say other plant materials on your packaging. We make such a big statement about CBD and things, or marijuana or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just use as an example another industry. We're helping on the I-22 corridor right now. We're going to bring in a textile manufacturer.
Yes.
We did not go in there and say, hey, I'm bringing a hip textile manufacturer and put it into everybody's face.
Right.
I said, I'm bringing a group from India who has 40 years experience in the textile, and they're going to come here and make clothing for ES Sports.
Right.
Or EA Sports, whatever it is. And you know what they said? Absolutely love them in here.
Right.
Who cares that the uniform line they're going to do down here is a 50-50 spin-off cotton hemp fiber for these uniforms and police outfits? It's nobody's business.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's something to consider, because we did discuss the fact that eventually we will be wanting to use hempcrete as well eventually. And so I don't know how HB445 will affect fiber farming and industrial application farming, because of the mere possession is a felony. And you kind of have to possess it to grow it. Even if it's for crete or fiber, there could be some THC amount in there. And so how does that work? These growers have licenses from the state with their blessing. And now what? We don't know. And we know what's happening with consumables, sort of. But how does that apply to industrial? If we want to grow hemp to make textiles, is this going to affect our ability to grow it in Alabama?
Absolutely not. Who we've talked to in the industry in Alabama and the upper echelon of the people making the rules, they want a successy. Like, there's ways to make sure. Just don't grow your harvest to full. You're not going to bud it, so just grow it to 5 to 6 foot and then chop it. It'll never go hot.
Okay.
So you'll always be on the hemp view. It's only when we take it and we want the bud or the flower off it so we can convert it over to a consumable
product, yeah.
Right. So if we chop it at 5 or 6 foot and use it just for the fiber and the cellulose inside, we'll be fine.
Right.
I don't think it's going to hurt us. Again, green energy and manufacturing.
Right.
It's changing right now, you know. It
right. Well, and,
so
and Rand Paul just sponsored a bill, federal bill, to increase the THC testing percentage to 1%, which would eliminate a lot of this crop burning for, you know, a 100th of 1% over the 0.3. And it would also differentiate testing. One set of rules and testing mandates for consumable products, because obviously anything you want to put on or in the body needs to have a high standard of testing, but then not apply those same testing standards to industrial grows for things not meant for human consumption, because who cares if there's THC in the fiber or in the hempcrete, you know, if there's any THC in that plant. You know, and change the standard of testing so that industrial farmers aren't at risk of burning their crops because it's too high in THC when no one will be consuming that. So I think that's an interesting bill that we need to watch. They're really trying to push these same hemp-derived THC ban nationally, but Rand Paul's bill sounds like the common sense answer to that. But as Alabama has proved, common sense isn't always that popular.
I think you're going to see the Delta 8 and Delta 9 reemerge under some kind of medical marijuana law where
it's
the same category. And we did it to ourselves. We told the government, hey, look, man, we want this marijuana because it's good for you. It's all natural and it's from God. And then we turned around and we realized, oh, we can grow hemp, take it and pollute it and decarb it and do the things we have to do, and we make it into Delta 8, Delta 9, and all the good stuff they do. I don't know all the chemistry of it.
Right.
And what is that? We're basically, I don't know the word to use, but we've changed the methodology, and we're saying this is okay, but yet we fight against the pharmaceuticals, saying we don't want these peptides in everything we have, but yet now we're puffing on them. So I get what you're saying,
yes.
But I think that's where the state's going to go with it. Do I believe in that? Absolutely not. But that's where, if you look at all the states where they want to go with it, then what can they do? You just said it. Now the state can tax the heck out of everybody and run that up. And then hopefully, if they do what I believe they may do in these areas, you'll see the industrial manufacturer hemp take off, because they're going to leave that to the states to decide at that level. And if that happens, you're seeing it, you see it in Texas right now. You see it in a bunch of other states. It's coming. The government wants the money. What do you do?
Right. Right.
We're just little people.
Right. We are. I haven't felt. I haven't felt this small in a long time.
Well, you're not that small, because you're going to come from the ashes, and we're going to.
Oh, baby, nobody's calling me small. Maybe short, but not small. Okay, let's.
Hey,
you can see me, right?
I want to say one more thing about hemp. What is hemp? Is hemp a plant or is it something else?
Hemp is a legal term. It's a word.
I know, but you know what we call it here with my vest in, and you're going to learn this being part of our team. It's about housing, energy, manufacturing, and prosperity.
Yes. Yes. And the hemp, the hemp plant can provide all of those things, and that's what's so cool. Anything made out of cotton, wood, or petroleum can be made from industrial hemp, and we have talked about that many times on the show. It's fascinating, all of the ways that hemp can actually heal the world. When we come back from the break, more with Kevin Edmondson. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart. Yes, you heard me right. I got married, and my husband is right here with me tonight. And I honestly don't know what I would do without him. I'm not going to be homeless. That's good. But yes, we got married on Friday, and we're very excited to start this new chapter in our lives and see what happens, because we literally don't know. Anyway, back to you, Kevin. Let's talk about some more about these developments. You said we're going to have one in Lakeland, Florida, which is down near you. Now, tell me, where is Lakeland, Florida exactly?
So Lakeland, Florida is Central Florida between Orlando and Tampa.
Okay.
Right next to Plant City, where they do the Strawberry Fest every year.
Okay. And then you said Pueblo, Colorado.
Yeah, Pueblo, Colorado is a really
totally different area. Climate, by the way. Totally different climate.
Well, again, I live here. We're offered the opportunity here. As you know, Little Austin, our special project director, mm-hmm. is now going to be the director of Pueblo, Colorado's project.
Nice.
And he's going to handle that since he lives there, because now he doesn't have to think. Again, he's been thinking about moving to Alabama and Florida.
Yeah.
And what's our favorite slogan? Sometimes God gives you what you need, not
what
you want.
And not what you want.
And now we have a Pueblo, Colorado right out his back door, and he doesn't have to move him. He doesn't have to leave his family or friends.
Right.
And now he can be useful and happy up there. So
right. And just like the NASA people or the Space Force people or whoever that was supposed to be relocating to Huntsville and decided not to, not a lot of people from Colorado want to move to Alabama for obvious reasons.
Right. But the property up there is so much expensive, so much more expensive.
I cannot even imagine.
Look, the group that we're going to work up there, and I'm going to announce it very soon. Again, we're keeping some of these things secret. Very, very passionate about his community. We're meeting with the hospital there this week for them to sponsor us with him on a USD memory care center. And about two other different types of sites that will be on that 166 building. Now, you have to understand, we're just not dropping 166 boxes,
right.
boxables.
Right.
We do the full infrastructure with boxable. They do the property, the layout, the USD grant loan applications with us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to do. The surveys all have to be USDA. But when it's done, these
right.
are funded by the government up to $100 million. So, again, why not use what the government's giving us
right.
As a nonprofit and put these homes up there?
Yeah, they're just going to make you work for it real hard, huh?
Well, again, Boxable's doing to me what I love is we always believe, let's give some houses to people, but let's not give them to free, because when you give somebody something for free,
right.
they destroy it.
Right.
So let's give a hand up, not a handout.
Right.
And Boxable's doing the same thing. Kevin, you go out here and you prove this, and we will give you all the homes you need, because this is our goal, to
right.
have affordable housing across America. So we're getting ready. We're going to come. And if
yeah.
you have a piece of property across the U.S. and you need a boxable to put your mother-in-law so she's on the same property, let's talk.
Well, and let's talk about boxable for a minute. I mean, for the people who don't know, who is boxable?
Boxable is the leading provider of pre-modular. No, you can't even say that. They're in a class by themselves. So they don't qualify anything. We ship them on the back of a container. They have their own foundation, concrete. We pour in about 8 hours, and then we can place a house on it immediately. Within 8 hours, we can go to any lot that has power, water, and electric and drop a house and have a family in it within 8 hours.
Wow.
All we need are the properties given to the foundation so we can do this under a USD. And if they give it to us, we'll go ahead and make them a JV on the partnership. And then when we put a house on there, we don't want people's property if they want to keep it.
Right.
Think about it. Let's put a house on there and split it with the revenue share and give that person who may be struggling on that property. Think about this. Mommy and daddy gave you your farm. You have 5 acres and you're about to lose it. Take an acre, put 8 homes on there, and generate income for you and your family.
Right. And provide affordable, sustainable, and safe, clean housing for people who otherwise couldn't get it. You know, I know so many young people. I know so many single people. I know so many older people that $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 a month just for a place to sleep. And that doesn't include all the things that come with it and then feeding yourself, driving, all those things. You know, rent is one of the most expensive things we pay. And it's not getting any cheaper. And it's just not doable for so many people these days.
These houses, because of the price, we're out on a property probably about $100,000.
Wow.
By the time we get there. And sometimes, you know, on a basic house. So if you think about it that way, but we're doing it and we're leasing it back to the people to own the property on a 30-year lease. But during that 30 years, we're helping them keep it maintained, cleaned, and everything.
Right.
So it's not like an apartment where you go in and you barely know who your landlord. You're the landlord. But we're going to put the safeguards to keep your property good because most of these people can't mow their yards. They have mental limbs missing, whatever it is.
Right.
And so let's take care of it. And then after 30 years, they can give it to their family and leave. If they want to leave at any time, they can give it back to us.
Right.
And we give them the equity to go to wherever they need to go to help them increase. I mean, maybe they get where they need a bigger house. They got 3 kids now.
Right.
So we move them from that equity and we move them into a house in the community. It's fostering it.
Yeah.
You know, from one step to the next to the next. I mean, it seems hard, but it's just more people would get up and do it. You know, we joke about it. We say it all the time. I'm not afraid somebody's going to steal this from me and come do this.
Right.
Please, come steal some of this and do some of this.
Right. Well, and as far as the I-22 corridor in Alabama, you know, we're not only going to be helping provide housing, but we're going to be helping provide the manufacturing that will be involved in the housing. And we will be creating jobs that people can learn trades. They can get a further education. They can get training. They can work a great job, make good money, and afford that house easily all at the same time. You know, we're creating the groves and the processes and the quarry and the community areas that need to be built back up. All of the construction and demolition work alone will create a ton of jobs. And then when we are hopefully able to go in and clean up some of these older buildings that are businesses and put new businesses in them, the entrepreneurial village that we talked about last time, that's really incredible stuff. Kevin, can you give us real quick before we run out of time, tell us how you people can find us and how they can get involved or find out how to win a house or how to invest in a project?
Well, we're getting ready to go and have a full makeover, even though we just did a full makeover. I'm getting ready to be taken care of by a big advertisement company. But if they just go to VivicentWellnessFoundation.org, and the site is very explanatory. Go to the pages, look at our sponsors. There's an update every day usually on the front page. Again, things are changing rapidly, so they're trying to keep up. So, you know, you can only make these poor people work so fast.
Right.
But no, it's happening. Again, and don't think people are like, oh, he's doing a thing. Well, yeah, it might be a year and a half before we're completely done with 150 units, too.
Right. Yes. Yeah. These things take time. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for being with us tonight. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. But we appreciate all the info. And I'm really excited to be a part of this team And hopefully we will be able to make some people some homes and make their lives better. Once you get a taste of being able to help and serve others, it's not something you can just walk away from. And that's sort of what the state is asking us to do in this industry. And it's painful. So thank you so much for the opportunity. Join us next week. We'll be talking with Mandy Ledkins, who is running for state senate against April Weaver. I'm really excited. She will be in studio. She's down here on vacation with her family, and she wanted to come in and do the show here with us. And on the 21st, we will have gubernatorial candidate Dr. Will Boyd. God bless you guys. Good night. God bless Alabama Hemp.